Time now for Minnesota Reads here on Northland Morning, and we are tickled as can be to welcome Lorna Lanvick to our airwaves once again. Hey, Lorna, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me. And you pronounced my last name correctly, so thank you.
Well, you know, being a Johnson, it's kind of the rule.
Yeah, right. I can always trust those Minnesotans.
Yeah.
My name right.
Oh, you can indeed. Lorna, it's so great to have you on the line with us this morning. I'm a huge fan. I've got all of your books. I'm collecting them in hardcover from book sales and various places. And
Thank you. You've
gone back to revisit the world you created with Patty Jane's House of Curl. I didn't realize, again, because I go to used book sales constantly, that this one came out in 95. I mean, the Patty Jane's House of Curl came back in 95. And your brand new book now, called Once in a Blue Moon Lodge, picks up the story of these characters. So the first thing I'm dying to know is, and I'm going to back up in a second and ask you why you decided to go back to these characters. But the first thing that I want to know, because I'm fascinated about the process of writing and by writers, did you have to go back and reread Patty Jane's House of Curl to refresh your memory about all the details?
Well, you would think a normal writer would, but I never read my books once I write them, figuring, well, I know what happens because I wrote them and there are so many other books to read, but I didn't read the entire book, but I absolutely had to go back and look at certain parts to make sure that my memory was serviceable. And so I didn't read the whole thing because it was just still pretty vivid in my memory.
I would imagine that obviously much of the book would continue to live in your head, but I keep wondering about little details that you might have forgotten that you added in that would, you know, suddenly a character has a different name or something like that. So what was it about these characters? You've written so many wonderful, memorable characters. What was it about these characters that made you say, I got to go back and follow up on this?
I don't know, but they just kept yammering in my head throughout the years that they wanted a further story told. And finally, their yammering, I think, became so loud that I could no longer ignore them and thought, okay, I'm going to let you tell me your further story. And for me, the real fun of writing is the discovery and not knowing what's going to happen until it happens. And, you know, as much as I feel I'm the boss of my writing, I often feel maybe I'm not. It seems like the characters are in charge here, and I just have to follow along with them.
I think that's so fascinating to listen to authors talk about characters having their own voice, moving the plot in a direction that the author had not anticipated, having that sort of autonomy. Because there's a part of you that says, well, you're the author, you decide. I mean, you write it down. You're writing it down.
I know. Even when I hear other writers say that, a part of me thinks, oh, come on. And yet, that's exactly the way it happens for me. And I think it's just allowing the imagination to do its thing without worrying and censoring and thinking, oh, I don't know, and not over-questioning yourself. And to me, I kind of liken it to, you know, when you were a kid and playing house or cops and robbers or, you know, you never asked for a script. You were just there in that moment, you know, comforting a colicky baby doll and, you know, your friends had their parts and you just were in it. And to me, that's kind of like writing, even though writing for certain is a little more difficult than playing baby dolls. Sometimes you do get stuck and you do argue with, you know, belligerent characters. And but by and large, I would say it's just, you know, opening that door to your imagination and just trusting it.
Well, critics from local newspapers never showed up when you were playing house and criticized the narrative and
you're said burping that baby wrong.
Various plot points were weak or that sort of thing.
Right.
I'm starting to think about this, and I was thinking about voices and thinking about my father's voice. My grandfather was the son of an immigrant to this country, and my grandfather had an accent, and my dad and my uncle, sometimes you could hear just the littlest bit of an accent in their voices. And I thought about the comparatively isolated life that my grandparents led on the farm in a small town. And I started to think about social media and how we're connected to each other. And we're not only connected to each other in different parts of Minnesota, but we're connected to each other in all different parts of the world. And this train of thought led me inexorably to, are we as quirky and interesting as our parents and grandparents?
That's a thoughtful question, and I will ponder that today. But my knee-jerk answer is yes, but I think it's much easier to deny our quirkiness or not revel in it because it's so easy to see what everybody else is doing and trying to adjust your lives or your actions to what's predominant and popular. But yeah, I'm a strong believer in the eccentricities of, you know, even the most staid and bland seeming person. I think if you really have a deep conversation or get to know them, you know, everybody has a little wild side.
Well, we had that, we had that opportunity to have our parents and grandparents, again, fairly, you know, certainly by today's standards, fairly isolated, fairly pure in their eccentricities. And I'm wondering if we're just becoming so homogenized that the next generation of older Minnesotans is going to just be like everybody else, and we won't be, you know, be quirky and, you know, I mean, except for the whole lutefisk thing, where we just really won't be unique anymore. And I'm worried about our quirkiness being diluted. But maybe you need a generation remove to reveal the quirk.
I don't know, but I think quirkiness is strong. It's a seasoning that's, you know, stronger than salt and will prevail, I believe. But now I'm going to worry about that, Lisa. I'm just going to think today about the lessening of quirkiness.
Well, would you let me know what you come up with? Would you drop me a line and let me know what you come up with? But in the meantime, I'm going to go home and I'm going to embroider a sampler that says quirkiness will prevail. And that's going to make me feel much better and will probably guarantee my position in the annals of eccentric relatives in my family.
Right. And then you have to make sure to drop a stitch or two in that embroidery.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. The Johnsons might have gone for that, but the Robinses never. Ooh.
Yeah, but that will signify the quirkiness.
Got it. Got it. All right. I got it, Lorna. Lorna Landvik joined us this morning as our guest. Her new book is called Once in a Blue Moon Lodge. Lorna, it's always such a delight to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Lorna Landvik, our guest this morning here on Minnesota Reads on KUMD. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.